7:51 is our time. 23 degrees our temperature on this Wednesday, February 26, 2020. Happy birthday to Brandy Augustine from everyone over at Lakeside Elementary. It is a Wednesday. It's time for Community Matters, brought to you by Metro County Hospital Health Systems. Joined now, as we are every last Wednesday of the month, by the city manager of Beloit, Jason Raby. Jason, how's it going this morning?
It's going great. A little cold out there. Looking forward to spring.
Well, at least you didn't get 2, 12, 9, 5, or 6 inches of snow at Sylvan Grove, according to different reports. We somehow missed all this down. We kind of had a stretch, right, in between the two.
I saw that somewhere report, you know, it was 9 inches in the Sylvan Grove area, and then like 6 miles north, it was 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like just crazy, that band.
Yeah, which maybe all those reports I got were accurate, but everybody said in Sylvan Grove. I don't think in Sylvan Grove
it was not that bad.
I don't think it was 12, 9, 5, 6, or 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was pretty crazy. On this edge of town, we got a foot. This edge, we got 2. This edge, we got 5. This
depends
edge, we got 9.
Depends on where it blew around, I suppose.
I guess. It's kind of interesting. 4 different people gave me 4 different reports, but maybe that's what they're talking about.
They had snow.
4 miles outside of Sylvan, I had 9. 2 miles outside of Sylvan, I had 6.
That's maybe, probably what it was.
Maybe they're all accurate. Well, let me ask you this right off the bat. It was in our news today, and I'd like to get your opinion on it because you obviously are you probably know where I'm going with this. Kansas has moved to junk the local tax lid in favor of transparency. There is a bill that, it was passed the Senate yesterday, 39-0. Kansas lawmakers moving towards eliminating limits on local property taxes they say are ineffective in favor of a proposal aimed at requiring officials to be more transparent about upcoming levies. So obviously, if something like this would go through, that would affect both city and county, would it not?
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I mean,
do you think it's a good idea, bad idea? Does it matter?
I think it just depends on your relationship with your local government and how involved you are. I mean, it's going to be, I think, similar in some ways to probably what we're already doing, just with extra steps, in the sense that, you know, we already have to publish things and we have to have meetings and you can come and see what we're doing or what we're proposing. And I think what they're trying to do with this is just say, okay, well, now actually take what you're doing and send it to every household so that they can then just be, I guess, more in a loop. We're trying to touch them more, I guess, is kind of the purpose of this, to try to get more people involved in the process. I know I've kind of tracked it here the last few weeks. I haven't really seen the most recent changes, so I couldn't comment real deep on, you know, cause those things, they start out with, you know, 20, things they want to do. And by the time it gets done, it's pretty well, clipped down. So I haven't seen what actually got passed at all with it, but it's kind of what they call truth in taxing, I know is what it's called. So, I think it's just really trying to, be more active as opposed to passive in engaging citizens on what is changing with the levy or what is changing with the amount of taxes you're taking in, et cetera, which, I think the tax lid was effective in ways, but it also probably had some flaws in the fact that it didn't allow or didn't really incentivize government, especially local government, that's what it was for, you know, local government agencies, not take anything, because let's say the next year something happened or broke or changed and you needed to raise taxes a little bit, you were stuck. You know what I mean? You couldn't go back and say, oh, well, last year we didn't do anything. So a lot of what you saw a lot of the local governments doing was just saying, hey, we can take 2% or 2.5% or 3%, whatever it is, whatever that equates to in dollars, just take it. You know what I'm saying? So I think with this legislation, it's going to be more, hey, you're going to justify it, which is appropriate. Kind of share that with everybody. It is what it is. We'll work with it. And, maybe the legislature can do the same thing for our state income taxes. You know, whenever they get an extra dollar revenue, they should send out notices.
I would agree with you.
You know what I mean? Hey, what are you going to actually spend this on? Maybe we all can be active in this thing.
Isn't that interesting?
It is what it is. We'll work around it. I'm not worried about it.
39-0 was a vote. It's hard to get
people
to agree on something.
Well, and put yourself in a legislator's shoes, right? I mean, you're just like, oh, well, I don't want truth. You know, I don't want that out there. You know what I mean? So, it is what it is. So, it'll be a good thing, I think. So,
all right. Well, let's talk about local things, and that is water. You had a meeting here recently to inform the public about what's going on, and you can update people here on the radio.
Well, this is just, you know, a slow-moving train. You know, and again, we've talked about that. I use that analogy all the time, but just trying to get this thing out of the station. So, hopefully... obviously, folks really believe it when you see the actual dirt getting turned. You know what I mean? And I've been that way with a lot of big projects, but there's a lot of work that goes into it on the back side, or, you know, the beginning side, I guess, to make it actually happen. So really, we're at a point now where we're saying, hey, we really have the concept of what we want to do pretty well locked in. We have a pretty good indication of what it's going to cost. We kind of have some ideas of how that's going to affect, you know, some of the end consumers and et cetera. Primarily because we're really close to being able to lock in kind of the, you know, the financing and grants and principal forgiveness, all that kind of stuff that's actually going to allow us to go out and, you know, officially design it, you know, to get it out for bid and actually turn some dirt and, you know, deliver some better water. Right. So, so really that's kind of the purpose of these meetings, and there'll be more. I don't really have a date for the next one, but we kind of gave it a trial run at, you know, Solomon Valley Economic Development. They kind of have a core group of local business leaders, and I presented to them. You know, I'll probably present to some degree. I presented to like some of the civic groups. I'll probably do some more, you know, the Rotaries and Lions of the World. And then this was kind of a, just a, invitation, you know, put it out there, got it to the local media and everything to get people out there last Wednesday, I believe it was.
Wednesday. 19th,
Got a great response. You know, the weather was a little bit, you know, a little bit junky out there, but we still got, I think, about 35 people in the door, which, you know, I was probably my top number in my head doing this over the years. You kind of have an idea of what's probably going to happen. So, you know, I was expecting anywhere from 5 to 35. So we had the top number and had some really good questions. You know, it was about a 45 minute session. I just kind of went through the whole history of it. You know, Boyd's got a long history with this thing and just kind of saying, hey, you know, you got to really set the table so we know where we're at right now. And so a lot of great questions and a lot of good comments, positive comments. I mean, I think it's one of those things that's, it's an issue that's matured there's a kind of an acceptance to it as far as, hey, you know, we know we got to do this and we know that there's an issue and we need to upgrade. And I think the big thing is helping people understand, you know, exactly what we're doing. We want to make sure we make the right decision, you know, and that's how we looked at this, how we studied this. And then, you know, obviously, you know, the kind of the bottom line of what that's going to do to them financially, et cetera. So it was a good meeting and I look for, you know, probably another one here in another month or so, but maybe more over the lunch hour type of thing, just to give more access to different people. You know, people tougher for when you have kids or sports activities or different things in the evenings to get out. But you know, a lot of those people could take a lunch hour and come and learn more about it. So that's kind of where we're at on that. And so that's pretty exciting. You know, I mean, I think we're getting a letter and kind of some initial loan agreements on the construction side of it, put together with KDHE here in the next 2 weeks. We'll have something from them and kind of what their commitment is to the principal forgiveness. And right now they're at about $2.6 million that they'll forgive off of that. So that's a nice chunk of change. And hopefully we'll hear from USDA Rural Development soon on what kind of grant portion they will give. And they will obviously be the permanent financing end of it. So it's kind of like when you build a new house, you get a construction loan and then you pay it off with the permanent financing. So that's kind of what those two parties are doing. Mm-hmm. The nice thing is, unlike your house loan, the bank doesn't really give you principal forgiveness or a grant. Right. You know, I mean, it'd be nice if they did, but
yeah,
they
that would
don't.
Be nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hey, Jason, we'll knock off.
Might work on that. Yeah.
You know, those marble countertops. You know, we'll pay for those, but that doesn't happen. So, but here, thankfully, the KDHE and USDA, you know, especially in the rural areas, they do that to try to make you be able to stomach that. And kind of what I've been telling even the group there last night and the other night, trying to tie this thing together is, you know, boy, it's fortunate in the fact that hey, we have an asset that's probably, you know, run its life course. Oh, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's 70 years old. Again, it's well taken care of. You can come to it at any time. I mean, there's no necessarily a problem there, but it'd be a little different if it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago, which I think Boyd's talked about it, but, you know, the asset was 35 years old, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like having a car that's only got, you know, 75,000 miles on it. It's like, well, it's still got some life on it. I don't want to trade it in yet, even though it gets terrible gas mileage. So, so it's kind of the same thing with the plant. Thankfully, it's run its course. So it's at the point where, hey, yeah, it needs to be replaced. Mm-hmm. You know, and the second part is, you know, the kind of second leg on that is it's not in compliance or it's barely in compliance. And we know those things get tougher and aren't going to get easier. So again, it's not only is it old and you know, nearing the end of its lifespan, but it's also out of compliance. So it's nice to kind of check both those boxes off. And then kind of the last thing is, you know, now it's been historically that way for about the last decade, and being in banking, I've been able to track that back before I came to this job. But you know, money is relatively cheap historically speaking, you know what I mean? So if you're going to have to borrow or finance it or whatever, you know, we hit it perfect. You know what I mean? If you would have done this in the 80s or the 90s, even, you know, some of those periods, you know, even a percent or two makes a substantial difference on this type of dollar amount. So I think that's what is helping USDA want to move stuff forward too, because obviously the cheaper the interest rate is, the more grant dollars they can throw in this thing, or the fewer grant dollars they have to throw in this thing to make it affordable. So So yeah, it we're kind of lucky we're hitting those three things at one time. So,
absolutely.
But yeah. So
Jason Rabus, City Manager at Beloit, our guest today on Community Matters, brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems. All right, I know that you can always upgrade roads. It's interesting when you go from sometimes county to county or city to city or state to state is where I really notice it. Yeah. And boy, there's a stretch from 81 when you get to the 2481 junction between there and Salina that maybe, just maybe, we can get that highway fixed. Everybody wants to drive on the left side because the right side's so bad. And we went to Heber, Nebraska for a basketball tournament recently. And, well, you knew when you hit Nebraska. And it's been this way for many years, although maybe it's gotten better. I always knew when I got to Missouri because it was really rough and bad. But for you, you can't handle all that stuff. You got to focus on your local roads, and there's some upgrades that need to be done.
Yeah. I think that's they kind of, you kind of call it lane replacement. Or lane replacement miles is kind of a gauge you use for your community to say, hey, we have so many road miles in our system. I think lane miles, even within Beloit, I think this is right because I checked on this today. It's about almost 80 miles or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but you got to think about it both ways. Together. What I mean? So it's really 40 probably, but it's kind of crazy how many lane miles there are to take care of. So you want to be replacing or upgrading or seal coating or doing something to it, so many miles a year to kind of keep up with that. Right. Otherwise you're going to fall behind. I think the city's tackled a few projects here and there, especially the East Main project and a little bit of downtown. There's the 14 they've tackled chunks of. So we kind of want to accelerate some of that those projects. We kind of have tagged for our next major rebuild. That's just that there's kind of the rehab and kind of fix up bucket, and then there's kind of the major rebuilds. And major rebuilds are really expensive, so you can only do those for certain roads and kind of that North Walnut, Gaylord area up there by the high school and everything. That's kind of the next candidate for what we did on East Main. Type of thing. But for some of the other roads, there's some solutions that we can do to really, for the dollars per mile, if you will, really do it affordably and give it a good lifespan and give it a lot better ride, for everybody. So those are some of the things that we'd want to do. Obviously, we'd love to just do a complete tear out and rebuild and fix some of the issues with some of these roads, but it just is cost prohibitive at this point for some of them, that have kind of the same thing as a water plant. They still got some life in them. There's still some, good things going on. So, one of those that we're going to be doing this spring probably is going to be East 8th, and this is kind of a, I wouldn't say an experiment, but it's a trial run for kind of a different process to kind of take the materials that are there, kind of reprocess them and lay it back down. So that'll be on that 8th Street stretch. Cause again, that's a really high traffic road, coming in from 24. It's the base of it. It's a pretty strong road, but it's also not the best riding road. You know what I mean? Like it's got some issues and some rutting and different, it's overcrowned in a lot of areas. So a lot of that should be resolved. And then across 24, obviously that's just an old county road that's been laid on and that has some issues too. So that'll be a same company, but kind of a different process over there to try to again, help that road just be healthier and stronger for a longer period of time for low dollars. And so there'll be something there. We're also going to be doing some rehab work on West Main Street. I'm kind of using, again, the existing road base there and just say, hey, how can we smooth this thing out, give it a better ride? We did some curb rehab on it last fall, if you noticed that. And then another road project will be potentially, if we can get to it, is Asherville Road. Again, that one coming in kind of there by Carrico's and back behind there, it's an old 24 part of it. So there's kind of an interesting road variations. It's really rutted. It's a lot of truck traffic because you got CVA and you got Nutrien back there with some of their facilities. And then further in, Nutrien's built a new facility. It's going to just bring in a lot of activity to our town, which is great, but also a lot of trucks. So look at, hey, how can we smooth that out again affordably? The road's strong. It just needs some ride improvement. Let's put it that way. So. And then the final road this summer that we're really going to be focusing on is going to be probably downtown at Court Street there, where we dug up that pipe about 2 years ago. We kind of gave it a break last summer. Obviously, we had the other drainage issues, so we couldn't really focus on that. But it's pretty ugly, pretty tough down there. But when it's done, it's going to be really a nice streetscape, really look nice and be a nice area for those businesses down there, the Plum Creeks of the world and Becker Supply. But so that'll be going probably later in the summer, but something that'll be happening there too. So those are all pretty exciting things.
All right. Anything else that we need to touch upon before we talk to you again next month? Those are the main things that we're
looking
at right
now.
Those
are the big ones. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's the big ones. And nothing else that I can really think of. come eat pancakes Saturday if you like.
Okay,
Lions.
Yeah, there's a plug.
That's my shameless
Lions
plug.
Club
I'm Lions to, president, so I got to put the plug in.
Oh, you're
in.
Lions Club president?
This year, that's
man,
my thing.
Man, you got
so.
Suckered in on that yeah, one, didn't
yeah.
you?
So, yeah. Leap day, you know, so leap, come in there, get your just an extra day, extra base run, I don't know, get your extra pancake, whatever.
Yeah, get extra carbs.
So, yeah, so come out and support that good thing. Which, yeah, well, good things happen at the sports complex, you know. I mean, that's slowly changing over, thanks to the Blaze program and the city, you know, for putting up that new cage by Field 4. It's up and going, so it looks
they
awesome.
They got that completed?
Yeah, it looks great, and that's up. So, yeah, it's starting to feel a lot like, well, not really, but it will here shortly feel like a lot like baseball.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
and
once it warms up.
So,
exactly.
So, exciting things there, too.
Absolutely. Well, Jason Raby, City Manager of Beloit, we thank you for your time, as always, and we'll see you when it'll probably be hopefully a little bit warmer.
Yes.
The last Wednesday of March. How's that
we'll bank on that.
All right.
Thanks,
that's
sir.
Good. Thanks, Jason. 8:07, our time, 23 degrees. Community Matters brought to you by Mitchell County Hospital Health Systems of Beloit.